Okay. Well, it's a real blessing for me to be here today in this position. I come most weeks, but to be up here during our song time, our praise time, I really felt like the Holy Spirit is here with us. And if you ever have to get up and preach, you know how important that is. And, you know, you're ready to receive the Word of God, I think. As I prepared the sermon, I preached to myself. They say, you know, if you're going to really be a preacher, you need to preach to yourself first. And then you're in a position to preach to other people. So I hope that today as I share, that you will benefit from this, that the Lord will speak to you. I don't know if He'll speak to you in the same way that He's spoken to me, but I trust that He has some things for you. Our passage today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Would you please stand for the reading of the Gospel? Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, which is your truth to us. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to help us understand and internalize and take your word into our lives and make it a part of us. May you add your blessing to the reading of your word and use this time now to your glory and to our good. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Thanks for standing. I think I might be turned up just a little bit too loud. Can we turn it down a little bit? Anybody ears hurting yet? No? Okay, you're a good bunch. I remember some years ago that I went out for a bike ride with my son, Jonathan. Now some of you know Jonathan. He's 27 years old, lives in America now. But at this time, he was 5 years old. And I used to have one of those bikes with a basket on the back for the baby, for a child, and a basket in the front for our other child. This day, I was going out with just Jonathan in the back. And near my house, there's a fairly steep but short hill. I got to the hill and started going down, and I felt the bike shifting around. And I realized Jonathan was leaning over like this to see around me. I'm using the brakes as I go down the hill, and Jonathan says, Dad, don't you think you should slow down some? Here was my 5-year-old son telling me how to ride a bicycle. Now, I've ridden bicycle for years and years and years. The interesting thing is, now he's 27, and when I go to America and I ride with him in the car and he's driving, I'm thinking, Jonathan, don't you think you should slow down? It comes down to trust, though. Jonathan learned to trust me as a bicycle rider, and I've learned to trust him as a driver in the States. This passage, though, today is talking about trusting God. More than my son, who's very trustworthy, God is trustworthy. If you trust God, you won't worry. Some translations of the Bible use the word anxious, which sounds a little stronger than worry, but they're very similar in meaning. The version we use today uses the word worry. It tells us five times, do not worry, or why should you worry? In verse 27, it says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink. Sorry, that was verse 25. In verse 27, it says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Verse 28, why do you worry about clothes? Verse 31, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? And verse 34, do not worry about tomorrow. Now, we probably all worry sometime. I know I do. And I think it's part of our human nature to be concerned about things. In fact, I can't remember ever meeting anybody who never worried about anything. I've met some who don't worry much, and I've met some people who worry a lot. They worry every day about everything in every way. Which type are you? Which type do you want to be? You can be worry-free. You don't have to worry to make sure everything goes well. In fact, worrying doesn't help at all. That's what this passage is saying to us. The passage states that we are not to worry about things in life. God knows what we need. Matthew Henry wrote a well-known Bible commentary over 300 years ago. He says that if we can trust God to take us to heaven after this life, then we should be able to trust Him to take care of us now. Which is harder, to give you a bowl of rice or to bring your body back to life after you've died? It's like a story I heard about a family years ago that was crossing the ocean. They went by boat. And they didn't have a lot of money. So they saved and they scraped money together enough to buy passage on this boat. But that took most of their money. They didn't have much left over. And so they thought, to save money, instead of eating in the restaurant on board the ship, they would take their own food. And so they took crackers and canned meat. And every day they ate in their cabin instead of going to the restaurant, in order to save money. Finally, they were getting close to their destination, and they thought, well, we do have a little bit of money. Let's celebrate. Let's go to the restaurant. And so they went to the ship's restaurant, beautiful place, and they could smell the delicious food. And they entered the restaurant, and they said, how much does it cost? And the steward said, it's free. It's included with the ticket that you bought to travel. The restaurant is free. So all this time, they could have been enjoying the fine restaurant food, but instead, they're eating crackers and canned meat in their cabin. Taking us to heaven is the big thing. It's like passage on the ship. Meeting our daily needs is also included. That's like the restaurant food on the ship. Don't worry about it. Of course, it's easy to say don't worry, but it's harder to actually not worry, right? I should know better, but a little while back, I got caught up in worrying. I was worried about the economy of Japan, about my job. I was worried about those European nations that are having trouble financially, and you know, if they go down, they'll pull down the European Union and they'll pull down the world and we'll be all in depression, economic depression. I was worried about America and things that are going on there and decisions that are really bothersome to me. You know, actually, once I get worrying, there's no end to the things I can worry about. It just sort of keeps going on and on and on. Well, then as I looked out the window, I saw a little bird. It landed nearby and hopped around, looking this way and that, and then it hopped and took off and flew away. It didn't look the least bit worried about finding enough food. And I remembered this passage that we just read. In verse 26, it says, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of much more value than they?" See, that bird doesn't worry. If God is taking care of the bird, God will take care of me. I don't know what is coming in the future, but I know God will take care of me and you. He will. Martin Luther, one of my favorite Christians from history, said, "I don't know what my future holds, but I know who holds my future." It showed his trust in God. He was on trial for his beliefs. They could have condemned him, tied him to a stake, and burned him to death. But in the midst of all that, he was able to trust God. There's a major department store chain in America called JCPenney. Have you ever been to America and seen, maybe shopped there? This is a JCPenney shirt. It's one of my favorite places. Well, JCPenney was started by a man by the name of James Cash Penney. James Cash, talk about, therefore, JCPenney. At first he was successful. It was started about 1900. And at first he was successful, but then he started to have financial problems. Mr. Penney was so worried about the problems that he lost hope. And it got so bad that he had to go into a mental hospital. He was completely depressed. One day, some Christians came to that hospital to lead a little chapel service. And they were singing a song titled, "God Will Take Care of You." I almost want to sing it now, but I don't want to embarrass myself and you with my singing. But you know the song, "God Will Take Care of You Through Every Day or All the Way"? You don't need to worry. He heard that song and he realized that it was true. And from that moment on, he had faith in God. He became a Christian. He stopped worrying. He left the mental hospital. He fully recovered and established a very successful company. In the process, he gave lots of money to charity and lived to be 95 years old. I think we all agree that we shouldn't worry, that we should trust God. But how do we do that? Well, the passage today said first, consider the birds. Don't just look at them, but consider them. Think about their life. A bird can't fly from a tree branch down to the ground for a seed without God knowing it. In fact, God provides for it. Not only did he create the bird, he created the seeds for the bird to eat. He provides the seed for them daily. The birds don't worry. In verse 26 again, it says, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them." Is it up to the bird to plan ahead and to grow wheat? No, God provides it for them. If God does that for the birds, won't he also take care of you? Matthew Henry said that because birds don't worry, they are the merriest animals around. They sing among the branches. They praise God to the best of their ability. If we were as carefree as the birds, we'd be singing all the time too. It's worry that takes away our joy. It is worry that keeps us from praising God. Look at what He's done already. Don't worry about what He hasn't done yet. It's not time for that. When the time comes, He will provide. And then the second thing to do is the most important, and that is to seek God's kingdom above all. The best way to make the worries of this life go away is to think about heaven. The more we think about that world, heaven, the less we are worried about, the more content we are in this world. When I think about living in a mansion in heaven, I don't really care so much about what kind of place I live in now. When I think about walking on streets of gold, as the Bible says we will, I don't worry about how old my car is that I'm driving on streets of asphalt here. When you think about the joy of heaven, you can get through almost anything. No, you can get through everything in this life. The problems of this life become smaller. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Think about that. To die is gain. Now, we're not rushing into it. It's only in God's time. But think about that. You have nothing, if you're a Christian, if you are in Jesus Christ, you have nothing to lose when you die. You only have heaven to gain, and it is so much better than now. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us this too. In chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before Him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." So it says, look to Jesus, our example. He endured a cross, a painful agony of death. He was laughed at and mocked by people. And He didn't let that stop Him. Why? He did it for the joy that was set before Him. Heaven. He could endure the worst situation that could happen because He was looking forward with joy to heaven. Another instance in the Bible was Stephen, the first martyr. As he was being stoned to death, a group of men were throwing stones at him. It was a ceremonial killing of Stephen for his faith because he was a Christian. And as they were stoning him, he looked up and he said, "I see the heavens open, and I see Jesus standing at the right side of the Father." So we are to seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness before everything else in this life. Let's think about what that means in everyday life. I think the biggest challenge we as Christians face is to remember who we are. It's easy to think we are just like everyone else, and everyone else is just like us. But this is not true. If you are in Christ, you are a new person. The old you is gone. You were spiritually dead, but now you are alive. You have been made a child of God, and you have been adopted into His family, and there is nothing that can take you from the hand of God. How do we remember this? By reviewing it. We forget. Our brains leak. We fill them with information and then we forget it. It leaks out. So we need to keep filling, keep remembering. We need to keep reviewing. We do this through spending time with God's Word, the Bible. Read about it, think about it, memorize it. Not real easy, but you can do it, at least a little bit. Meditate on it. Pray as you read. Say, God, guide me with your Holy Spirit. What does this say? What are you saying to me today? Help me to understand it. And then when you need it, God will help you remember just the right passage. Like I said earlier about me and my worry, and then I looked out the window and saw the bird, and the passage came to mind. Cast all your worries on Him. Don't worry. He's taking care of you. Also, keep attending worship services. Hear God's Word preached. When the pastors bring you a message on Sunday morning, it's after hours and hours of study, and they pray, and they meditate on the passage, and they think about what God is trying to tell us through that. And they bless Him, bless them in communicating it to you. They may not speak like Billy Graham or Tony Campolo, but they are put here by God for you. And sing songs about truth. Sing songs of truth about God. It's amazing how words from songs will come back to us. I don't know if you have this experience or not, but sometimes during the week, a song that we sang here Sunday morning will come back, and I'll just start re-singing it inside in my imagination, sometimes out loud. And you know, people look at me and wonder what I'm doing. They can see it's a blessing. But that's why we need to pay attention to the words of the song, make sure that they are true and accurate according to the Bible, and also think about what they mean to us. And then don't forget, praying is important in seeking God's kingdom and His righteousness. Prayer is conversing with God. You remember in the account in Genesis about Adam and Eve? And it says, in the cool of the evening, God would come and walk with them in the garden. Imagine that. Imagine God coming up to you and saying, I want to spend some time with you. Talk to me. I want to hear what is on your heart. Well, that's sort of what praying is like, talking with God. It isn't just listing off things you want God to do, but it's rather sharing with God, praising Him, thanking Him, and bringing Him your worries and your concerns. Often, it's being quiet before Him. After you've prayed, sometimes you just stop and you wait. And God, by His Spirit, will speak to you and guide you. He quiets our spirit and gives us encouragement. So prayer in the morning is good. Prayer at noon is good. Prayer in the evening is good. Prayer anytime is good. The important thing is to pray every day. Not a special method, not a special style, not a special time. Just do it. And then live out your life based on the truth from God's Word. When you are living well and obeying God, you are praising Him, whether anyone else sees it or not. God is aware of what you say and what you do. In doing our daily work well, we please God. It doesn't matter so much what work you do that God's given you to do, but how you do it. Work as servants of God. The Christian woman who cleans floors is pleasing God. Not because she's singing hymns while she's cleaning, but because she's doing a good job of cleaning. Martin Luther said that. You might be a teacher, a business person, a factory worker. You might work at McDonald's or Uniqlo or anywhere. You might not even have a job. You may just be at home doing things, working. But whatever it is, do it to the best of your ability as to God. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, it tells us, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord. Though it seems you are working for a company or a business for your income, in reality you are working for the Lord. Work well for Him. Don't worry about what you will eat or what you will drink, or what you will wear, or how you will live when you're older, which I'm dealing with now as I'm getting to that point. Some of you may be too. I see some of you giggling a little bit. Don't worry about it. He will provide for you. Serve Him faithfully. He may lead you through various paths, various jobs, various living conditions. But wherever you are, He will provide for you. Seek His kingdom and His righteousness with all your heart, and all these things will be added unto you. In closing, I want to share a true story. Now, I've said there's no need to worry. God will take care of you. It is His word, and He will not break His word. But I don't want you to think that means that nothing painful will ever happen to you. Sometimes it is through the pain that the greatest blessings and benefits come to you. Remember Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. This doesn't mean that everything is pleasant or even good. Bad things happen and they come our way. But God works in them for good. I've been reading a book called The Good and Beautiful God. In it, the author, James Bryan Smith, tells about his daughter named Madeline. He and his wife already had a son, and they became pregnant again. They were looking forward with joy to the birth of their little girl. On a visit to the doctor to check up on the progress of the unborn baby, the 8-month-old baby, the doctor stunned them with news. The little girl that was still in her mother's womb had a rare chromosomal disorder. She would probably die at birth. There was nothing they could do. He and his wife went home from the doctor in shock. He writes, "How does a person survive that kind of news? How do you move from painting your child's nursery to planning her funeral?" Well, it turned out that the doctor was partially wrong. Even though the baby had the chromosomal disorder, she survived birth. She was very small, had a heart defect, was deaf, and could not keep food down. The doctors then told them that she would only survive for a year or two. James Bryan Smith said, "During that time, it felt like he and his wife had been kicked in the stomach repeatedly. They wondered why this had happened to them. Why, God? What did I do wrong?" Their daughter lived for 2 years, and then finally her little body gave up the fight. Now listen to what he says in his own words. "A few years after Madeline died, I was in the middle of a day of solitude. My mind went over the last few years, thinking about the pain of hearing the news from the doctors, the countless sleepless nights on hospital floors, and the dark and rainy day we placed her body in the earth. I turned to God and said, without thinking, 'Maybe it would have been better if she had never been born.' That was when I received one of the clearest experiences of God responding to me that I've ever had in my life. On this day, at that moment, a little voice penetrated my mind, the voice of a little girl, a voice I had never heard but immediately recognized as Madeline's. 'Daddy, you should never say that. If I had never been born, I would not be here now. I am so happy here in heaven. And one day, you and Mom and Jacob will come and see me, and we will live forever together. And there is more good that has happened because of me that you can't see now, but will one day understand."
People, God does care about you. He knows your needs and your pains. And He will take care of you. He will provide for you, and He will bring you through the hard time. Maybe you won't have the clear answer that the father of Madeline had, but take it in faith. God will take care of you, and He will work all things together for you, for your good. It may not be obvious in this life what the good is, but you can trust Him on it. We have no good reason to worry, and every good reason to trust God. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise You and we thank You for Your great love for us. Thank You, Jesus, for enduring the shame of the cross so that we could be Your children. Thank You for adopting us into Your family as we come to You and repent of our sins and ask for Your forgiveness. Thank You for making us Your children. And Lord, strengthen each of us in our faith, in our understanding. Help us to grow in grace and knowledge. Work Your way in us. And Lord, help us not to worry. Help us to put that to death. Help us to give those worries to You and leave them with You. Thank You that You have promised to be with us. Help us to trust You more. These things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.